Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. The weather has been pretty fantastic this week. Love it. It's my kind of stuff.
About time.
It is about time. It's my kind of stuff. Love it. Going to be a good weekend here in the Nashville area as well. Joe, how are you? What's going on?
I'm fine. So, I thought that every NFL team had to have a Thursday night game. Is that not true?
I thought so.
But the Detroit Lions don't? Is that right?
Is that like
it's like relegation.
Is it the exchange rate you pay for being on Hard Knocks, don't have to play Thursday night football?
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But congratulations to the rest of the NFL if you don't have to watch the Detroit Lions. Although, the thing is that's never true because, Thanksgiving. You're gonna have to settle.
Well, there's their Thursday game. There you go.
Yeah. So I guess that counts. So never mind. Sorry. I just ruined your Thanksgiving in May.
Hey, it's always good to get that Lions game out of the way early, though. At least it's the first one of the day.
That's true. Yeah. It's like as you're preparing food and trying to think of other things. It's okay to have that on the background. And you got the third game now on Thanksgiving, which is nice.
Yeah, I can confirm that the Titans will once again be playing 17 games next regular season. That's what we learned yesterday.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Makes total sense. I actually was. I know we're going to get into the schedule a lot, but I actually the schedule came out, and I'm like, wait a minute, they haven't scheduled one of their preseason games yet? What's up with that? And so I'm still not adjusted to that.
Which is a great thing.
I mean, it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong.
Man. What a night last night in the world of sports. There was the NBA playoffs, Miami Heat, my beloved Miami Heat, punching their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. Second time in the last 3 years they take down the 76ers, and that's already starting to go well in the postgame last night. Doc Rivers is yelling about his job to the media. James Harden's complaining about not getting the ball enough. Great stuff last night after the game in Philadelphia. And then in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have shout out to the St. Louis Blues. The fact that so many people picked the Wild in that series, I just don't understand. But the Blues just destroyed them last night, and they win that series in 6 games. So it will be Avalanche and Blues in round 2 coming up in the NHL. And Joe,
I'm looking forward to
that. I'm very much looking forward to that one. The most enjoyable game that I watched last night outside of my Heat winning was Tampa Bay, Toronto. And I'll just go ahead and say it. I should not take as much pleasure in this as I do, but this is shaping up to be an all-timer for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's just right on brand. They're up 3-2 heading into the third period. They took 2 penalties, one of which was just an absolutely atrocious call. I mean, it was awful, the call. They called high sticking, and the stick was on, I think it was Cal Foote's shoulder on Tampa Bay. And they got called for a penalty there and then took a 5-on-3 in Kucherov, who, quite frankly, hadn't done anything the whole game. It had been pretty awful the whole game. Great shot. Crossbody, through traffic, through a screen, and it's 3-3, and Toronto dominated the entire overtime period, and then Braden Point scores in the end. And
again,
it's game 7. And I get it. I think Toronto's been really good in this series. I thought they were the better team yesterday in game 6, so they could very well go home to win in game 7. but this to me is shaping up for an all-timer. Game 7, back at home, two-time defending cup champions. I'm going to say it right now, call your shot Friday, early edition. The Tampa Bay Lightning are winning in Game 7 tomorrow.
I would think so, too. It's like, I basically like the entire future of hockey in Canada rests on this game. So yeah. It's an all-timer either way. Either the Maple Leafs finally get over the hump and it's just pure celebration, or this is just the ultimate tease and flop by Canada's, well, not favorite team, but you know.
Yes, most popular team.
Yes, I guess that's true.
The biggest city.
Incredible.
Yeah. Bruins win last night as well, so Game 7 between the Hurricanes and the Bruins coming up.
Haven't had one good game yet.
Yeah, I know. The home teams have just totally destroyed each other.
Not a single decent game, and it's a 7-game series.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Kind of the worst, but maybe we'll finally get one in Game 7.
Connor McDavid and the Oilers show up last night, and they're without, you know, their best defenseman in that game, and they win to force a Game 7. So that's 3 Game 7s on this side. There's 3 more elimination games tonight in the NHL. There is a potential that you could have 6 Game 7s in the first round.
Unbelievable.
6. Now, that probably won't happen. Like, I'm sure at least one tonight will win and eliminate the other team. So, you know, Pittsburgh's up 3-2. Florida's up 3-2. Calgary's up 3-2. I'm sure at least one of those teams will win. But we're probably going to have at least 4 Game 7s in the first round, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Bless you, Joe.
Thank you. I got to say, I really would like to see a Rangers-Penguins Game 7. I'd really like to see that.
Well, I think you might get your wish. I don't know if Crosby is going to be available.
And yet, somehow, I feel like they'll still win.
They might.
I almost like their chances better just because of the, you know, the whole thing. You lose that key player, you win the next game, which the Grizzlies almost did, you know, earlier this week. But we'll see, by the way, with them, if they can get this to 7 tonight.
Man. They will.
Yeah? You got them winning out there?
That's what call my shot. Early
I like that.
Edition.
Calling shots all over the place here. They could. I mean, I can't – the Warriors are – I don't know, man. They've looked really good, like, one game in this series, so.
Speaking of Game 7, Mavs win last night, 113-86. You talk about also some, like, games that have not been all that close.
Yeah.
Like, the Mavs-Suns have just gone back and forth, you know, trading blows against each other. Now you have a Game 7 coming up in the Valley. But Mavs staying alive last night. Luka is, he's so much fun to watch. He's really good. He's so good.
Luka's amazing. The Luka-Booker hatred is great. That's fun. So, but like, I just expect Phoenix to roll at home in Game 7.
I do too.
I hope we get a great game, but it's amazing the difference with some of these series in both sports, home versus road.
Yeah, and you got Bucks Celtics tonight as well, in addition to Grizzlies Warriors. I feel like the Celtics, they lost the series the other day. You're up in that game,
yes,
and Milwaukee comes charging back in the fourth quarter, and that's one you got to have at home. And I feel like Milwaukee's going home tonight. They're closing that thing out. And then it'll be Bucks Heat in the Eastern Conference Final, and I'm nervous about that.
I'm excited. That could be great. I mean, for hockey, you know, Saturday. So 3:30, Bruins-Canes, Game 7.
Yep.
6 o'clock, Lightning-Leafs, Game 7. And then 9 o'clock, Kings-Oilers, Game 7. That's pretty sweet. That's a heck of a day for the National Hockey League. Although I understand the time zones, like you adhere to the time zones.
Sure.
I still would rather see the Lightning Leafs be the – just make that the nightcap. Make Kings Oilers like a late afternoon game in Edmonton and make Lightning Leafs a 5 overtime nightcap, you know?
I'll be honest, like a lot of this has to do with the start time, obviously. I've not watched probably more than 5 minutes of – Kings and Oilers so far in this series.
Same with me, but like that day, well, that'll change.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, for sure. I'll watch that. And the Oilers keep wearing like these alternate ugly jerseys they've got at home instead of like their classic looks. So I hope the Kings win in Game 7 for no other reason other than that.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
It's the playoffs especially.
Got these great jerseys that you've had for a long time, and you're wearing like these – I don't even know what they are. They're just awful.
It's like that one year in the NCAA tournament when Adidas, made all the Adidas schools wear terribly stupid-looking, like teal crap. Like, ugh. Just let them.
Don't hate on the teal.
Well, I mean, but if you're Wisconsin and your colors are red, why would you have teal? I don't
why not? Spice it up.
Yeah, I guess so. Joe, big day for Tennessee basketball yesterday. Rick Barnes landing a big recruit as Michelle goes double thumbs down. Five-star Julian Phillips, a small forward committing to Tennessee yesterday. So Rick Barnes adding a five-star. And now Tennessee has gone from out of the top 20, I believe, to now in the top 10 after landing that recruit in five-star Julian Phillips yesterday. So now Tennessee in the top 10 in recruiting for 2022.
You're saying in recruiting rankings.
Recruiting rankings. Not, yeah. Not your preseason
not
poll.
Not preseason too
yeah.
early.
That's they wouldn't be that high anyway.
No.
Wow.
Nothing like some May trash talk for college hoops. I love
yes,
it.
Nothing gets me fired up more than college hoops in May.
You and your super underrated coach, John
yes.
Super underrated.
Well, so On3 Sports reported, and specifically Tipton. I got to make sure I get his name, Joe Tipton. He turned down an $800,000 contract, G League contract, before committing to Tennessee.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting, right? So this is everybody's got to just embrace money being part of this, okay?
Yeah.
Just embrace money being part of it. I mean, because the thing is, your impulse when you get a big commitment, like, oh, Rick Barnes, man, great. Well, look, I'm sure that Rick Barnes and his coaching staff still made a difference. I'm sure that the fact that they develop players and have done really well in that regard in recent years makes a difference. You know, Brian Rice, who's on the Sports Animal 91, so he this is his tweet to that, okay? Because obviously I'm sure people went nuts. Oh, he turned out $800K. Well, what did he get paid then, right? So Brian Rice says, quote, people can make jokes, but I think what we're seeing here is a kid realizing that a year of college coaching, nutrition, strength and conditioning, national media exposure, and playing with other NBA prospects probably produces a better draft result than the G League cash, end quote.
That's and what it is.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not saying that there's no truth to what he's saying, but come on, man. It's fine. They should get paid. So, Spire Sports has already told us they got millions out here.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I hope he got a million, too, to play for Tennessee next year. I mean, let's get over the mental hump of, like, we have to defend this. Well, it couldn't be about the money. It's okay for it to be about the money. I'd go somewhere for money, wouldn't you?
Yes. I definitely would.
I would.
I mean, God, like it's some sort of it's taboo topic. Ooh,
I'd go to Kentucky.
Well, yeah,
you Robbie would rock that big blue nation.
I would.
Many people have been going to Kentucky for a lot of money for a long time. So yes, I would too.
We'll get our college basketball analyst Tom Izzo's thoughts on this a little bit later in the program.
Yes, he'll break down the contract details.
Maybe in July we could have him on.
Huge fan of pay for play.
Well, off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look ahead at the Titans schedule that was released yesterday, including one part of it that just boggles my mind. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hope you're checking out 106.3. Joe Rex Road, a big fan of 106.3.
I got to say, yeah, I've got it. I've got that locked in, man. Got it locked in.
That's right.
It's crystal clear where I am. Down 24, down in the old, Nolensville area.
Shout out to Nolensville. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, the NFL schedule officially released yesterday, which was hilarious because all week long, like, leaks have been coming out. So, like, the Packers, I knew, like, 13 of their 17 games by the time the schedule had been released yesterday.
Did you know them for sure, though, or were there some wrong ones?
No, most of them were right that I saw. Now, there were some wrong ones around here.
Well, yeah, everybody's all, what was it, Raiders?
Raiders, Titans,
like Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And, which, of course, by the way, is a Sunday, so this year. So, yeah. Like, it would, like, there's going to be a bunch of Christmas Day games.
Yes.
But apparently that was just totally bogus. Whose fault was that?
I don't know. I saw it, like, all over the place. I don't know who first had it.
who first had it wrong. Who first had that wrong?
I don't know.
Someone take credit for it.
As we pointed out earlier, Joe, 17 games again for the Titans. It's amazing how the 17-game schedule now works. 2 years in a row they've had that. Mm. There's one part of the schedule that is really interesting. Well, there's a couple parts that are interesting to me. There's one part that drives me nuts, and I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I think so.
The Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans will have played twice by October the 23rd. Two times by October 23rd. So you see the Colts on the road on October the 2nd, and then you have a game at the Washington Commanders, your bye week, and then back against the Colts again at home on October 23rd. Now, I get that the NFL schedule is more complicated than just throwing one together. Like, there's got to be travel that makes sense for both teams. You don't want one team having to go on the road four consecutive weeks. Like, I understand all this stuff. But it's ridiculous that the Titans and the Colts are playing twice before the end of October, and that's going to be it for them the rest of the regular season. Like, obviously, those are two huge games. I would like to see them play against the Colts once in October and once again in December, maybe early January. Would be great if you're an NFL fan with a division that is probably, and barring some miracle, going to come down to those two in the division. It's ridiculous that they're playing twice before October 23rd.
I agree. It really stinks. And, yeah, it's complex. Got a lot of moving parts. But for the most part, the NFL figures out how to have divisional rivals play at the end of the year quite a bit. I think it's three straight years the Titans have played the Texans at the end. Of course, you know, that just hasn't meant much lately because the Texans – well, it's funny because the last couple of years the Texans have just been terrible, right? But the year before, the first one of those, they were the division winner and they had already clinched, and so they didn't play Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So either way, that's just circumstantial. You just have a bad game. But I mean, how do you have, even if we can't get it like 2018, which is Titans Colts win an end game Sunday night flex at Nissan Stadium, which was a fantastic atmosphere, even if not a great memory for Titans fans. I mean, at least can you get into December with one of them? I mean, you're talking about the clear two favorites as it's been for the last few years for a division, and you can't figure out a way to get them to play in November or later. And I hate the play and then a couple weeks and then play again thing too.
That's the other thing. Like, it's like a 3 week break between matchups against the Colts and the Titans. You're playing the Colts twice before you play the Texans or the Jags once, which, by the way, speaking of that, you don't play the Jags until December 11th, and then you play them again on the last week of the regular season.
Yeah, you play them again less than a month later.
Yeah.
It's pretty stupid. Again, I understand everything can't be perfect, but if you look around a lot of these schedules, you know, they're pairing up division rivals, and you got to, just to me, it's like you got to look at who's actually good in a given year. I mean, the crazy thing about the Titans is they have a first-place schedule, which with the 17-game schedule means now you don't just play four first-place teams. You add a fifth, which is Green Bay this year.
Yep.
You get to go to Lambeau. So you have all that, and you still have the 24th toughest schedule because of the dog water that your division is. So can you figure that out, schedule makers, and put the good teams together late? I think that you could have done that.
I think that they probably could have as well. So you'll see the Colts twice in the month of October, and who knows, the division could very well come down to those two games in October between the Titans and the Colts. There's a couple of different interesting stretches here for the Titans. One that begins in Kansas City. So you've got a four-week stretch of at Kansas City, home against Denver, at Green Bay, and home against Cincinnati. That was kind of the difficult stretch that stuck out to me yesterday. That's going to be a doozy. And the other thing that stands out to me, I mean, obviously the you know, first 3 weeks, you start with the Giants, you immediately go to Buffalo, which we knew earlier this week that was going to be the Monday night game coming up at Buffalo in week two on the road. And then Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, and the Raiders coming into town the next week before you take on the Colts. So that three-week stretch of the Bills, the Raiders, and the Colts, pretty interesting there too to begin the season outside of the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I look at the Titans next year, one thing that comes to mind is it would help them – So this is also with the Colts thing. It would help them to be lighter earlier. Like, if they, to me, given the changes on offense, I mean, first of all, Robert Woods, when's he going to be full Robert Woods? Yep. Second of all, if he's not, then Treylon Burks, your passing game is built around a rookie. You know, and you know, Westbrook Akeen is going to be in there and other guys, but he's going to have to be really important. So it would really help the Titans, I figured, going in, if they could have an easier schedule. Remember with the Colts last year, you know, this playing twice early really hurt them. And who knows if the Colts would have had one like that home game way later, you know, maybe they get a split. Now, I understand they screwed up at the end anyway. I mean, the Titans won the division by 3 games.
Yeah.
So, but still, you know, the ability to have that game late, I think that may flip around and hurt the Titans this year, because I could see, first of all, the Titans defense should be ready to have them in games, and they're going to need to lean on that defense early. But I could see them being a lot better on offense, you know, in December than they are in September. And so I agree, those tough stretches you laid out are definitely the ones that stand out. It's not great for them, to me, that you got to go Bills, Raiders, Colts right away in 2, 3, 4. But the Giants should be a good way to start things. They should be. I mean, I think so. Is Kayvon Thibodeau going to come in and get 5 sacks?
Yeah,
in the opener.
Well, is Daniel Jones going to be able to complete a forward pass?
That's a fair question.
The better question to me in that game.
I mean, that's the weakest game in their whole schedule, is it not?
It's got to be close.
It's got to be. I mean, that's the weakest game on their schedule, is the opener. I mean, what else would be? Well, I mean, Jags and Texans at home, both of which are like way in December. See, that's the thing. If the Titans could juggle things around,
the Washington Commanders.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Road game, tough environment.
Yeah.
Raucous, those Commanders fans. Yeah. Commanders Nation. I mean, watch out. But if the Titans could shuffle this a little bit, you'd maybe take one of those, at least one of those Jags Texans games, and move it up, you know, and hope that you're better late. Another thing that's not great for the Titans is the idle or off week. Either one is fine.
Yeah.
Is week 6. That's not great.
No. I mean, you're going, that's a lot of football after that. Now, you do have 2 Thursday night games if you're the Titans, which is interesting. So I guess the 2 mini buys, as they put out there. You got the short turnaround going from the Sunday to Thursday, but after the Thursday game is done, get some time off there. So I guess the silver lining there with having 2 of them is 2, quote, mini buys, as they put out there.
Mini idols?
Mini buys, yes.
Yeah, well.
Can't wait to get back into this football
season. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing, it's that tough stretch. You know, that is the toughest stretch for sure. It's Chiefs, Broncos, Packers, Bengals. I mean, the Broncos, it's just a different game now with Russell Wilson. I don't know how good they'll be, but I know that's a tougher game.
Yeah.
But the tough part is there, you get the short week going to Lambeau. You get a short week, and, you know, November 17th in Lambeau, that's not going to be too sweet.
It's going to be cold.
It's not, it may not be absolutely Arctic yet, but it's not going to be that great. And then you also have the short week with the Cowboys. At least that's sandwich between Texans and Jaguars. I mean, I have a feeling the Titans are going to need to make a real run late in this schedule, whether it's at the division and or a playoff spot, when I look at the whole thing.
And then the reunion with A.J. Brown coming up on December 4th. So Titans at Philadelphia on December 4th. It's scheduled to be a noon game, so you have to wait till December to see your firsthand look at A.J. Brown in another uniform.
I mean, you go November 27th, noon game at home, the Bengals. So now everybody can revisit all of that and Tannehill.
Can break down each one of Tannehill's interceptions.
Yeah, and then you go right into A.J. Brown on the road.
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of emotions swirling around there late November, early December.
I mean, it's a great schedule for us, for our purposes here on this program. There's lots of interesting matchups for the Titans this year. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans schedule, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Plus, how do we think the Titans handle this schedule? What's our first look at what their record could be? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Looking ahead at the Titans' schedule, Henry, texting in, says, I believe the Titans' defense will be just fine, but the offense may need some time to gel, seeing as the leader of the team did not show up in the first week. That's coming from Henry.
Oh, boy. So, oh, it's about time.
Going to fast-forwarding to September. Tannehill not showing up this past week. Going to really wreck some things coming up later.
Every mistake he makes, someone will bring it up.
Oh, I know.
Someone will bring it up. But, I mean, there's so much to bring up.
Well, I was worried about like the first home game, what would it be? Because when I saw that they were going to Buffalo week two, I figured the first game would probably be at home, and it is. And then I was like, oh, it's the Giants. Well, surely he won't throw that many interceptions against the Giants, I don't think.
Kayvon Thibodeau coming off the edge, I don't know.
Is the Dory still there?
Dory Jackson lurking, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well,
it is a chance for a nice positive start.
It is. It is a chance for a nice positive start against the Giants. Now, we see this, and look, that's my favorite part about going through this schedule is as we sit here in May and go through it, and even when you start the season, you go, oh, well, the Titans should win this game, the Titans should win that game. Like, there will be a game a la the Jets last year where they go, or the Texans, and that they just totally blow, whether that's the Giants or the Commanders or maybe a game against the Texans again. They will lose a game this year, maybe two, that they are not supposed to lose. And looking at this schedule, they will win a game and probably convincingly win a game that they're not supposed to win. That's just the way things work in the NFL.
You got to figure. Well, it's the way things work in the NFL. It's the way things really have worked with these guys.
Yeah.
Hey. I thought you were going somewhere else. We're off to break, folks.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. Sorry. So you may think I'm crazy. I went through my initial blush at the schedule last night, and I have the Titans going 11-6.
Okay.
I had 11-6 as my final record. You know, again, I'm going basically chalk with how I'm looking at it. So I'm not predicting like a, well, they're going to lose once to the Texans. They're going to come back and beat the Texans, and they're going to beat the crap out of the Packers on the road. Like, I'm not going through all that. Like, I have them starting off, and I'm not going to read off my entire picks here on the schedule. But, for instance, I have them beating the Giants, losing to the Bills, beating the Raiders at home, losing to the Colts on the road, starting 2-2 on the season. And then I got to beat the Colts again at home. So, splitting with the Colts.
You and I may be almost exactly the same. So, I went 10-7. I mean, my first blush is a 10-7 team. But yeah, I thought in the same terms. It's like, because it's funny, because like last year when we did the same thing and at the Athletic, we all write about the teams with the schedule and do some different things like toughest game and best offense they're going to face and all these different things. But I went back and looked at my picks like last year and I was close. I was 11-6. They went 12-5. But, like, the actual game picks are terrible.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd pick the obvious losses and pick the obvious wins.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, my actual game picks off first blush were bad. So I tried to think of, like, okay, think of something that you would immediately think they're going to win. But they're so I look at that Raiders game because, just like we talked last segment, you know, offense, trying to figure it out. Where's Robert Woods? Where's Treylon Burks? Oh, by the way, I mean, I still think the offensive line is the weakest part of the team and the biggest question mark. And that's a game. Now you got Davante Adams and Derek Carr coming in here. I looked at that one as an early L for the Titans and a 1-3 start for the Titans, which
that'll go around.
I'm sure, around I'm sure it would be well received. Another thing that I've figured out with this exercise that we did, is I think the Bills are like the greatest team in the history of football, apparently. Because they say, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, and I mean, you could make a case I'm wrong on both of them, but we had to pick like best offense, best defense. I went Bills for both that they face. They face on the schedule. I went Bills best offense. I went Bills best defense. They just added Von Miller to
that
defense. I mean, the Bills should win the freaking Super Bowl. That's one thing I've come away with from all this. Like, God, the Bills are good. That's, you know, that's a tough, tough game. Whether you buy into what I'm saying or not, that is a tough week two game in Buffalo, Monday Night Football. And the Bills, you know, want some retribution.
I mean, I'm looking around at, you know, teams that on their schedule that could challenge them for best offense. I mean, there's the Chiefs, but the Chiefs don't have Tyreek Hill.
Take Tyreek Hill out of it.
The Packers. There's the Packers, and they don't have Devontae Adams anymore. Cowboys are going to have a good offense.
Bengals.
Chargers are going to have a good offense. Bengals would probably be the closest team I'd put on there. I mean, we'll see what happens with Denver. That's the thing. I have the Titans beating Denver. I'm not buying into the Denver hype quite yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
To your point, it's certainly a better game. Like, the Titans without, you know, without Russell Wilson, Titans are head and shoulders better than Denver Broncos.
I mean, that move, you know, that's the thing. Like, Titans strength of schedule, right? Tied for 24th. By the way, the Colts are tied for the weakest strength of schedule in the entire AFC,
yeah,
by the way. But, you know, it's, that also doesn't factor in. Russell Wilson is now the – like, that's supposed to be one of the easier games on the schedule, and it's not a gimme at all.
Not a great year to have the AFC West if you're the Titans. I mean, you had the NFC West last year, and we talked about that. And the Titans, you know, outside of the just embarrassment that was the first game against Arizona, did pretty well against the NFC West last year. Went 3-1 in that division. So,
well, it's a great NFC year, though.
Yeah, it's a great NFC year for sure. And you get the NFC East, the mighty Commanders. We'll see if Carson Wentz gets his revenge against the Titans. We'll see if Carson Wentz is still starting for the Commanders by October the 9th. I would hope that he is at that point. But that's 2 years in a row. I mean, the NFC West, you can make an argument, was the best division in football last year. And I think everybody expects the AFC West to be the best division in football this year. And you've gotten them 2 years in a row if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, last year, of all the impressive things, you know, the opener was ugly. But then you go to Seattle and win. You go to L.A. and win. And you beat the Niners that great game. It's a lot of, again, a lot of a lot of big wins last year, as you also compare the two schedules. But there's a lot of opportunity for that, even though this technically is a low-ranking schedule. That's, again, because you play the NFC East, so you've got some bad teams from last year in there, starting right away with the Giants. And then your own division is – I mean, your own division, you got to combine 7-27 between Jacksonville and Houston, you know?
Yeah.
But there's still tons of big games. And by the way, this is the most primetime games known going into a season since 2009.
Yeah.
So the respect thing, a little bit less of a complaint now, maybe? Yeah,
maybe so. Luke on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This has to be the hardest November schedule in the league. And to his point, we brought it up earlier, that stretch of at Chiefs, home against the Broncos, at the Packers, home against the Bengals. That's a doozy of a stretch right there if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and again, it's like you think about how they were playing going into the stretch was earlier last year, right? I mean, it was more like mid-October that it started.
Yeah.
But they were not playing well at all. They lost to the Jets. They'd won an ugly game in Jacksonville, and then they win all four. So, I mean, I have no doubts about just overall, because they still have the same core, the same leadership, about them rising to these big games. You know, for the most part, that's what they do. I'm trying to think of the last couple years when they haven't risen, well, in the playoff games, they have not played their best. They went and got smoked in Green Bay 2 years ago. But other than that, they pretty much show up big big games.
Well, would you classify last year against the Patriots as a big game? The Patriots were rolling. And the Titans, look, the Titans roster they put out there in that game was not good.
I think that was just like a bottoming out of the whole season.
Yeah.
Like, that to me was the week where it was like, for the most part, they handled this incredibly well, all these injuries. This is a week where they're just going to just blah, all over the turf. And yeah. But, yeah, I suppose you could look at it that way. I'm thinking like prime time.
Yeah.
They seem to really play well in prime time for the most part, other than that Lambeau game.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the schedule. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Including a thought from Bert on the text line, which I was anticipating today and I think is going to get the people in Joe Rex Road going. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5, The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on 102.5, The Game. NASCAR on 102.5, The Game, presented by Nashville Super Speedway and Nashville Fairground Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and their schedule on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Bert in Paris, texting in, says, let me get you all going. What record will cause a quarterback change after the bye? What record will cause a quarterback change after the bye? Keeping in mind, Joe Rexroad, that the bye week comes in, what was it, week five, week six? Week six.
See, the thing that offends me most about that is that you use bye. Bye is something that happens in a tournament. So let me change your Bert in Paris. Let me get you all going. What record would call a QB change?
Do you know what it says? Week? I'm looking at Joe Rexroad's athletic piece that he put up right now.
And there's a schedule
that you've put together. And I know that you didn't put this schedule together, but I'm going to assume you did anyway.
No.
Because your name is on the article, and it says bye in there.
Yes, so, Robbie.
I don't know what else to tell you. Your published work has bye week in there, not idle week.
You just stabbed me in the heart, Mitch Light. If you're awake, there's no way he's listening right now. How could you do this to me? You did this on purpose, didn't you? My editor, Mitch Light. You put bye in there. Look, it's all caps, too,
just to
taunt me. Well, look, I'm going to keep fighting the good fight. Anyway, are you serious, Bert? A QB change to whom?
Malik Willis, man.
Yeah, sure. Sure. There's no way. This is kind of like the whole thing with like money in college athletics, right? We're still going to go with, wow, the family atmosphere and whatever, you know. And we're going to go with whoever the rookie QB is, even though like everyone's been told. He fell to 86 in the third round because like he's not going to be threatening for the starting job next year.
John Robinson didn't rule that out.
Okay. Well, yeah. No one's going to rule anything out. You want everybody to compete. You want everybody to be as motivated as possible. But Malik Willis, I swear this, and I know this is a bit of a hot take, but I'm sticking with it. If there's some reason that Ryan Tannehill needs to be replaced, which to me would be injury is far the most likely thing. I mean, he could totally bottom out as a player. That's possible. It will not be Malik Willis starting quarterback.
Logan Woodside?
It'll be Logan Woodside starting quarterback in the short term. Yes. So, hot take me all you want. Put that, you know, send it to freezing cold takes. But Malik Willis, like, their plan is to try to get him ready to be an NFL quarterback in 2023, which, again, is what it used to be for all the rookie quarterbacks coming into the league. I understand it's a different league now, but we're a little bit wacky the other way, you know, giving up on, you know, Tua after six games or whatever.
I hear exactly what you're saying, and I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. Although I guess I'll leave a small window of possibility open that Malik Willis comes in and he just wows people, and he is way far ahead of where they thought he would be. Now, having said that, would you have the Titans starting 1-3? I'm here to tell you, if the Titans start 1-3. You know what our show is going to be about? It doesn't matter how good
I'm not listening.
That's all it's going to be about is people calling in screaming for Malik Willis to take over for Ryan Tannehill. And again, I don't agree with it, but that's going to be what it is from Titans fans.
We don't have to listen to it. Like, you know, we can just ignore people on the text line who are screaming for Malik Willis, which I'm going to do. Josh from Cookeville, thank you for this. Why is it that everything Tannehill does is super critiqued? I feel like he's not had as much slack as Marcus. I love Marcus, but it's unfair how people treat Tannehill. He's won the most playoff games we had in the last 15 years. I hope for the best this season for him, end quote. I mean, it's just refreshing to hear that because, again, I think with Tannehill, there's some level of the loudest people don't always represent the most people. Now, I'm not saying it's just a tiny little – look, the entire Titans fan base has a right to be mad at Ryan Tannehill and to question where it's going with him. But it has. It's gone so over the deep end. It's like Tannehill's fishing rod just way into the deepest part of the ocean, man.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Anthony on the text line says, I see 9 or 10 wins. You got to score points to win, and I'm not sure where the points are going to come from. Tannehill on his back, Henry rushing for 51 touchdowns, a rookie shocking the world. This is coming from Anthony on the text line. I did think about this. Like, I have the Titans in my initial blush going 11-6 with this schedule. And am I being way too optimistic about this team? And the reason I feel so strongly about that is I think their defense is going to be top five defense in the league. I think they're going to have an incredible defense, and that's going to give them a chance to win every game.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's – their defense is could be a championship-level defense. You think about Bud Dupree, you know, now an actual non-rehab offseason. You think about they got Landry back. I mean, Simmons is coming into his own as a great player. I mean, you kept Cunningham. And, look, Roger McCreary at the time is like, yeah, they have these other needs and all that. But, I like what that means for the defense. You aren't overly dependent now on Caleb Farley immediately being, you know, a first round pick this year. I mean, you've got some depth and some flexibility at that spot. Just, you know, if those guys are good, if you get good play there, hugely important position. I agree. I mean, this defense should keep you in a lot of games, you know, in tandem with that pass rush.
Let's go back to the text line. Santa in Portland texting in says, I'm most interested in the preseason. Will they be ready this year? Will fans suffer another slow start because the veterans didn't get the work they needed in the preseason? Can't wait to see the podcasters' performance this year as well. This is coming from Santa in Portland on the text line.
Are you just trolling everything here, Santa?
I don't know.
He's just – I mean, this is trolling on some – like, he doesn't mean this, right?
I don't know.
The podcasters.
By the way, Stanley Cup showed up at the podcaster's house the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
Why does he get the Stanley Cup?
I have no idea. I guess because he's a hockey fan? I don't know.
Because he's a podcaster.
I guess so.
Joe, you're kind of a podcaster.
I'd have to say bro way more, bro, be on that level. Can't you bring it to some Nashville Predators players?
No, can't do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that if you're a player in the NHL. Yeah, that'd be like seeing your bride on the wedding day.
Yeah, you can't do that.
In her wedding dress, yeah.
Although I will say, this is brief tangent I'm going to go on, and then we'll get back in the tight schedule. I see people, and you can do whatever you want, so you don't have to listen to me at the end of the day. I see, like, fans that will go see the Stanley Cup and are, like, scared to death to touch it because their team hadn't won the cup yet. Just touch the freaking Stanley Cup. It has nothing to do with you. Like, I understand players, there's a superstition of, I can't touch the cup until I win it. That's fine.
Yeah.
You as a fan are never going to physically go win the Stanley Cup, so just touch the thing.
Like, you're not going to be invited onto the ice to skate around with yes. it. You're not going to get like a day with it if your team wins.
Exactly.
My sister-in-law got to drink out of the cup.
Really?
Yeah, after the Red Wings won it in like 97 or so.
Wow.
Yeah. Fedorov and the guys brought it to some bar in Royal Oak.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Now we got down that.
And they won more. And they won more after that.
They did. Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, the Titans can do a competitive transition. Better to test the new quarterback now while the team is good. Why wait to set him up for failure? This is coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line. So said, you know what? Let's go ahead and toss Malik Willis in there. Doesn't matter if he's ready or not.
I want to read this for myself.
I'm just, it's what it says.
Oh, good God. All right. Now, Heidi, you are trolling. Can we get some serious comments on the text line?
Yeah, it's a little loose on the text line this morning.
It is Friday. Friday, and it's the 6 a.m. hour, so I get it. Oh, Keith, what you talking about, Willis? Keith. Can anyone name the show? I bet you can. Don't say it.
Okay.
Michelle?
No, I know that quote. What you talking about, Willis? Oh. I just don't know the show.
Okay. I'm actually impressed with that.
Wait, is it? Okay, this might sound.
One of my favorite
Fresh
shows of all
Prince
time.
Of Bel Air.
It is not.
Okay.
Well. You're about a decade too late on that. Yep. But yeah, Different Strokes.
Yep.
What show?
I should have let you answer. I knew you knew it. Different Strokes?
Different Strokes.
Gary Coleman? Todd Drummond? No? All right. Well,
add it to the list.
Then, like a lot of shows, like it starts to get stale, and they're like, "Oh, we need to add a new cute kid." And then Sam comes in with his little guitar, red hair. That's when you know a show's going down the tubes. And then all of those people then got in trouble and stuff later. But great show.
There is that. Megan on the text line says, "I'm calling a Kevin Byard pick six against the Giants. As worried as I am about the offense, I can't wait to watch this defense go wild." This feels like the exact opposite of last year. We were so concerned about the Titans' defense, and the offense was going to be the greatest thing ever. And then now it's the opposite, and we think this Titans defense is going to be elite, and the offense may suck.
So we're probably overstating the defense. Like, there's going to be something wrong with it, right? They're going to not stop the run well enough or something, and then maybe the offense will be better. You know, the to me, the offensive line this year is the equivalent of, like, the pass rush from a year ago.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like, can they rush the passer at all? And, of course, yes. Now, this year, they have going in, I think, the 28th-ranked pass-blocking offensive line. Per Computer Cowboy, our friend of the show, Ben Baldwin.
Yeah.
And all the metrics. But, you know, Lawan, also a non-rehab offseason. That's what it is to me. If Ryan Tannehill is going to be running around for his life all year, he'll get blamed for everything. But I will look at, you know, the lack of moves and say they should have done more for the offensive line. You got two spots. We don't know who's going to play. By the way, Heidi says, just pulling your leg, y'all. Ryan or die till the 2024 season.
I like it.
Well, some people should understand, like, there's a real chance that Ryan Tannehill is not just a quarterback next year, but the year after. That means he played well. Yeah. He's under contract. And Malik Willis may never be a starting quarterback at the NFL.
He may not.
He may be the next star, and this may be an incredible pick. It's going to be fascinating to watch it unfold, but keep your mind open on all of it.
I got a text that says, off-the-wall take/hot take. Use Malik as a gadget guy like Taysom Hill. He can get some game reps and won't be responsible for taking over.
Oh, I don't hate that at all.
We've talked about that.
No, I mean, I'm Todd Bridges, by the way. Thank you. What did I say? Todd Drummond? Drummond is our actual – Mr. Drummond is our name in this show. I'm sorry. Todd Bridges, yes. And no, that's not an off-the-wall hot take. I would definitely throw him in with some gadgetry next year. Why not?
Wes in Clarksville says, this year's offense will ball out. Tannehill throws for 5,000 yards. 5K, Tannehill.
So, again, if you really think that, that's cool. But the text line is not just for making jokes, people.
Well, as multiple people have now pointed out, it is Friday the 13th. Maybe that's why we're seeing some strange stuff on the text.
Oh, that's scary.
It is Friday the 13th. LD from McMinnville says, remember the Nashville sports media stance on Brown being potentially traded. Never say never regarding Willis playing.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay. Hey, I had the same stance early last year when the Julio talk started. So, yeah. And you're right. Never say never. But, again, that's also – there is a difference between off-season acquisition stuff and, you know, the reality of two players. One, Tannehill. He's still your starting quarterback. He had a bad year. He had a down year. He's been the best quarterback the Titans have had since Steve McNair. Does anyone want to argue with me on that?
I don't know how you could argue.
But I guarantee you someone's going to... Oh,
I mean, who else
is
going to...
It's absolutely inarguable. Right. Now, that does speak to... Right, it speaks to a drought at the position, but...
Charlie Whitehurst?
Medenberger.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, Met Show, baby.
That's right. But, you know, and then Willis. I mean, like, he's, you know, it's got to be time. Again, if you pay attention to the evaluations on Willis, it's going to take some time.
James on the text line says, I'm most concerned about huddle integrity going into this year. Need tight huddles that we get into and out of efficiently. Great day on the text line.
Friday the 13th is starting out really well.
I just want to point out, what other sport can we sit here and talk about a schedule for 45 minutes? It's unbelievable.
NFL.
Oh, we know exactly who the Titans' opponents are going to be next year, and I've known that for a long time. But now the schedule's out, so we know which order they're going to be playing them in. It's amazing.
The NFL has us. It's like the Death Star. Like, we're in the tractor beam. Like, we have no choice but to talk about the NFL all the time.
That's right. Coming up next, we will get out of NFL talk for a little bit and get back into the Predators conversation. Brett's fans, do you feel any better after yelling at each other all week? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.